Oh, wouldn't that be nice? A life without stress. Well, you need some stress. The good kind of stress. You stress, not distress. Hey, we want you to feel good for all the years of your life. And if you lead a healthy life, you'll have more years of life to feel good about. And one thing's for sure, to feel good, you have to manage your stress levels. And here to help us do that, Dr. Roxanne Galeo, and she is the founder of MindWorks for Children, and she's a pioneer in health psychology. Now, one area where Dr. Galeo is actually specializing in is her role as a counselor in pediatric stress management. In fact, she's been designing and delivering stress reduction programs for over 25 years in a variety of settings, be they educational, clinical, or corporate. She's here today to talk about ways that we can improve our mental health. Dr. Galeo's audiences, by the way, are a who's who in our society. She's presented to everyone from Harvard Medical School, or university rather, and countless other prestigious schools, to the National Institutes of Health, the big kahuna. And we are privileged and honored to have her on the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Dr. Roxanne. How the health are you?
Thank you, David. Very well.
Thank you.
Well indeed.
Thanks so much. Now, The Way of the Leaf, that's a video where you are using leaves as metaphors. I love it, for unstressing our lives. Tell us about how that came to be, that video, The Way of the Leaf, and we invite people to view that, by the way.
Yeah, I hope they do. Well, actually, the way I got involved in the mind-body work is by firsthand experience, which I'm sure you know is the very powerful way to learn anything. And when I was working with chronically ill children at Children's Hospital in Boston, I decompressed by running around in the weekends with friends, going hiking and whatever. And I decided one time to bring in some of my photographs and project them onto the walls of these tiny isolation rooms that the bone marrow transplant patients had to be confined to help them use their imaginations to get out of that environment and get relief. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't realize at the time, when we were putting the slides to music and just having them kind of journey inwardly and pretend that they were actually on the mountain hike or watching a leaf gently fall onto the stream, I gave them a hypnotic suggestion that they put a worry on that leaf. And as they put the worry on the leaf, you see the leaf gently fall onto the stream and let the stream carry it away. Well, little did I know at the time that the Harvard Medical School was doing a very powerful set of research projects, one of which was led by Dr. Herbert Benson, who you may know is the author of The Relaxation Response, which many adults can still find value, even though the book is over 20 years old. It has a very, very useful set of ideas on what adults can do to calm themselves down. And basically, we know that an image held in the mind's eye can and does literally change every cell in your body. Mm. And the children were being measured every day for their immune assays and their T cells, the fighter cells. And they found that after the kids had viewed these slide programs that I presented, their immune response was higher than it was the day before. And now, that was pioneer work that Herbert Benson was doing at the time that proved that we have this mind-body connection in the field that at the time that I was learning was called psychoneuroimmunology, the study of how our emotions affect a cascading of neurochemicals that will either promote your immune system or inhibit the immune response.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So this was a very eye-opening experience, and that was how I started to creatively design audio programs and audiovisual relaxation programs for children, which are now actually being used nationwide in pediatric facilities, but I found that even parents enjoyed listening to many of the recordings because they have a powerful imagery and the effect of the images on the imagination can translate through the physiology and help even adults calm down.
Oh, no doubt about that. And also, Doctor, it reminded me of a study some years ago where patients who had windows in their hospital rooms recovered much quicker than those patients who were not as fortunate to have a window to look out of. I don't know if you've seen those.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And that was one of our research fellows at Harvard who actually did that research. Yes, and it really did. It was very inspiring. It also caused me to ask the administrators at Children's Hospital to create a garden, a meditation garden area for children and families to go, which is now part of the Children's Hospital.
Oh, excellent. Good for you. Wow. You know, and when you look at not only hospitals, but also office buildings in Europe, I've traveled pretty extensively in Europe and other countries, and they have a lot more windows than we do in institutions, be it educational institutions or medical facilities. Because, I mean, you know, to look out to nature, and also, as an aside here, I'm going off on a tangent, but it has to do with what we're talking about, and that is I actually turned down a high-paying job. This was back in the 80s. It was an executive job at a company, a corporation, and what it came down to was the office they were going to assign me to had no window, and I said, well, I have to have a window. I can't live without a window. And they said, well, when one comes available, we'll transfer you to that office. I said, no, you don't understand. And that was the deal breaker is that, I was going to be in a office without any window to look out of. And I would go stir crazy. It'd be worse than prison.
Oh, my God. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And they thought I was nuts, of course, but I would have gone nuts if I had taken the job and tried to survive, let alone thrive in an office without a window. I'm sorry. I just couldn't. It's not me, but
well,
some people can.
Well, let me take that thought and bring it to the relevance
of our discussion.
Of our discussion. One of the beliefs that I have that I promote with the kids, helping them help themselves, is that personal power is necessary for health.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was one thing that you demonstrated, it was a sense of what you needed as a human to survive and thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have the most powerful electromagnetic tuning device in the universe, and that is the human brain. And our human brain is actually virtually unlimited, and it has a capacity to tap, process, and articulate really the infinite wisdom that is available to us when we are able to understand we have agency, and if we use it, if we learn how to honor what works for us and how we can stay healthy or heal and really know that there is a mind-body-spirit connection, we do better over the long haul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about that either. And I found it interesting, Dr. Roxanne, that you actually posed the question to artists and musicians and writers of what improves your mental health. Now, what was the conclusion, or what did you find out from that research of asking that question to people in those professions, because you say that people need to use their creative abilities to build up a resilience to stress. So, and I can't think of three more creative occupations or professions than artists and musicians and writers. So give us a rundown on that and some of the details.
Yeah, well, basically that I know that it wouldn't surprise you to realize that we have the tools we need to create the thoughts we think and the beliefs that we follow and the habits of mind that we use on a daily basis. And what I've discovered is that when someone begins to really discriminate between those things that they can and cannot change and utilize those aspects of their creativity and their creative impulse, it actually helps to restore their inner resources and their mood and their attitude toward life, whether the glass is seen as half full or half empty, all depends on it's an inside job. I mean, it really all depends on how that individual wants to hold the experience. And that was, for me, a real eye-opener with the children at the hospital, because here they were coming in with a terminal illness, and many of them taught me spiritual optimism and what it took to really push through against the odds a very difficult treatment plan and survive. And that had more to do with the will to live and the attitudinal healing that was occurring and unfolding every day.
Like they say, you know, life is 90% attitude. And it's so true when it comes to what we're talking about today, our mental health and reducing stress and anxiety in our lives. Dr. Galeo, we need to take a bottom of our station break. And when we come back, I have many more questions for you. When we come back, I want to ask you what advice you can give us to get reconnected with our loved ones and our tribe or coworkers, friends and future friends, you know, the strangers out there, because we've been so disconnected during the pandemic that Zoom doesn't count, and neither does Fakebook. So we'll talk about how to make real connections when we return from my guest, Dr. Roxanne Galeo, talking about her work, the founder of MindWorks for Children. We'll also talk about how children who have suffered through the pandemic, they might not be as physically susceptible to the virus, but emotionally, that's a much different topic, or it's much more pronounced in children than it would be in adults in many cases. So much more to come here on Mental Health. We'll give you a checkup from the neck up as we continue here on the Healthiest Hour on Radio. So don't go anywhere. If you want to stay healthy, I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio.
Find a retailer near you at clear.com.
Snow.
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 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Dr. Health Radio to their patients who listen to radio. Ask your doctor if Dr. Health is right for you. This is your prescription for good health, radio's original health news magazine. With David Snow on your radio, I am your happy, humble health stylist host. Not a doctor, but I am the facilitator or conduit of this show. And we have a doctor with us today, Dr. Roxanne Galeo. She is the founder of MindWorks for Children. She also teaches stress management to various groups and organizations. And, doctor, let's talk about how children have suffered through this pandemic. Now, they're not nearly as susceptible physically to the virus, the COVID-19 virus, but emotionally, that's another story. Tell us how our children are. Our juniors, whether it's our sons and daughters or grandsons and granddaughters or nieces, nephews, et cetera, you know, how everybody under the age of 18 classified as, or, well, I guess under 12, if you classify that as a childhood age, how they have suffered in a different way than adults, because they don't oftentimes know what the heck is happening and why things are going on like they are. So give us the rundown on that.
Okay. Well, I thought you might be interested, and if you allow me to present to your listening audience, the Harvard Graduate School of Education, which is where I graduated from when I did my master's in education, we have a monthly meeting, and in this meeting we discussed the deficit versus what kids have gained over this 18-month pandemic. And we discovered that even first graders, when they came back to the classroom, hadn't been able to remember how to write.
What?
They were so stressed.
Whoa.
They were taking out their snack at a time when it wasn't snack time. Some of their you know, self-regulation skills were lost.
Right. They
would go down the hallway and couldn't remember where the bathroom was.
Hmm.
It was pretty astonishing to discover that there was a loss in rote memory and recall in of the simplest sort, right? But the good news is that we also had to be ready to look for growth in unexpected places. And we saw that the children were motivated. They actually did better than even some teachers with technical skills, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the disruption of routines has impacted students across the board.
Right.
And what I recommend for parents and grandparents is really to, as you know, touch back into the real world and get to reclaim your power as a parent, not by using a particular strategy, but by recognizing the absolute potency of the attachment bond that you have, bonding with your child. There is nothing more medicinal and powerful than connecting in the easiest way. Get out in nature. Turn off your cell phone. Turn on your physicality. Get outdoors, shoulder to shoulder. Stay close. Give of yourself. Tell your child of a story. As you walk in nature and breathe and feel the freedom, the expansiveness, the life force energy all around you, allow the not knowing of that trail to become a way of being in the moment, moment by moment. Allow the not knowing.
To connect you. Mm-hmm.
And keep you safe, and allow the not knowing to let your child lean in on you as the guide. Here's the secret sauce, Dave. Give your child something of you that he cannot get from peers, devices, or drugs.
Mm.
Tell your story. It is the most powerful thing that distinguishes you from anyone else.
True.
Your story, you know, taking a picnic lunch and sitting under a tree or by the waterway, watching the leaves gently fall. A story of a time in your life when you felt anxious, scared, afraid. What did you do to help yourself? Maybe it was that you took vigorous bike rides, or maybe you ran as fast as you could across the backyard just to blow off steam. Or maybe you wrote in a journal or painted or sculpted or took out a hammer and nail, built something. Whatever it was, it is the most powerful form of connection that you can use to restore the attachment relationship.
Yeah, no.
Parents being present, very mm-hmm. important.
Very, very. That's very well put. Yeah, and the only thing I was going to add to that, Doctor, is I'm glad that you brought up the word dimension or adventure term and defined it, because it is the unknown. You know, a lot of people look at they look at unknown, or there's nothing more undesirable than uncertainty, right? People just abhor uncertainty in their lives, in any area of their lives, and yet adventure, that's an element of uncertainty. If it wasn't uncertain, you know, if everything was exactly the way you planned it, it wouldn't be as big an adventure, right, of whatever you're talking about. And so I think that people need to kind of think out of the box or get out of the box, whether it's their office
yes.
cubicle or their car or their home, the square room being the box that they think that they need to be in to protect themselves from life. I always use the analogy or the metaphor of, you know, a big ship is safe in the harbor, but that's not what big ships are built for. They're built to take on the ocean and travel, you know, far and wide. So, since you were talking about adventure and everything, this is an article on the title is Love More, Stress Less, and you were talking about the love connection with parents and children and everything. And I'll just read the last few sentences of this article and it kind of sums everything up. And you mentioned it too. Take a tech break, turn off, unplug, and be quiet for an hour. Light a candle, stare, daydream, take a nap. The last sentence is listen to yourself, change your mind, change your thoughts, change your life. Love more, mm-hmm. stress less. So anyway, I just wanted to add that because it's along the lines of exactly what you're discussing. And
Yeah, totally key point, Dave. Key point of the whole conversation here, because what I was about to say is that, you know, our kids have been really at a loss for how to handle unpredictability, uncontrollability, which, by the way, on the stress symptom scale, is at the top of the list.
Oh.
We do not, as creatures of habit, we don't like unpredictability and uncontrollability, which is what our culture has been going through. And it has caused kids to numb out. They don't want to feel uncomfortable. They want to know what's coming. And you are right on when you say the remedy for helping your kid think more flexibly and be able to adjust as you would take, you know, your youngster out for a sailboat ride. When the winds luff your sail, you've got to change direction and change what you, where you're going without worrying that you're going to tip over.
There's a real
beauty to the not knowing, and it's really raising your child's tolerance for that undesired discomfort that they really are trying to get away from. Some of the kids that I work with have even told me that they're buying medication from their classmates because they have
much
anxiety.
Really?
Right.
Gee. Well,
right.
And then when you look at adults, Dr. Galeo, I mean, talk about self-medication. Look at what alcohol sales have gone through the roof. They've skyrocketed during the pandemic, and so have, you know, people are self-medicating with food and other drugs and other substances. And so it's not just children that are doing it to numb themselves or to get more, you know, back into their comfort zone, so to speak. But it's everybody from all walks of life at all ages. There's alternatives to the fast fix, the quick fix that is not going to result in long-term wellness and well-being, because we all know what happens with too much alcohol. I mean, then your stress level goes through the roof, and so does depression and anxiety and everything else.
And I couldn't agree with you more. So the whole point is that as a parent, we often rush to take the pain away from our child or to avoid it altogether. And what I'm saying is that in order to foster emotional intelligence, we need to flex the muscles of the mind to withstand the unwanted emotion or the uncomfortableness of not knowing and just learn that discomfort is just like the tapestry of the colorful quilt. It's just one of many colors, one of many feelings. It's not all of who you are. Life is both pain and pleasure, and it's normal and natural.
True. Life is about contrasts. If you haven't experienced the lows, you won't appreciate the highs. You don't want to necessarily be on that e-ticket roller coaster all the time, but suffice to say that we need to be a little more flexible or resilient, as we started the discussion with that term resiliency, to know that things are not going to go always the way that we are planning them to want to.
But I would like to end on a high note to say that one of the strategies that I often give parents is that, when you share your own passion in your heart with your child, or you have them let their eyes close and share a vision of a world you want to live into, or something that they can actually begin to practice for themselves. Imagining now, even though we're home and you're getting ready for bed, what it felt like when we were out in nature taking that hike, and let their imaginations be exercised, because the brain makes no distinction between real or imagined information. In other words, whether the child and parent is deliberately crafting a movie of the mind, the brain is receiving it as if it is real.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe me, take yourself to a scary movie. What happens? Your eyes dilate,
right.
Your hair follicles go erect, your heart palpitates. You might even stop breathing or breathe rapidly. And all of these are the body's natural response to stress. However, you can use your mind-body connection to turn the volume down on the autonomic nervous system and begin to focus the task at hand to beautiful imagery and to powerful, peaceful, pleasant imaginary visions. I use with children sound healing. Whether it's a bell or whether it's a harmony ball, which is what you hear.
Wait, my producer was looking at me puzzled, like, what? We're getting interference on the phone line, but it's you.
Yep, we're getting interference because what does it do? It immediately changes what the brain is focused on.
That's right, yes.
So that when you interrupt the airwaves with a new kind of sound, especially a peaceful, beautiful one. Uh-huh. This one I feel is very, very magical, and it evokes imagery of fairies or fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And you want that child and you want the grandparent to get right into another way of being in another place in time and space.
All right. Speaking of interrupting, I don't want to interrupt you, but we do need to take one last break of the hour, Dr. Roxanne. And when we come back, I want to ask you, since you mentioned exercise, I want to ask you about getting back to your area of expertise in treating childhood stress and anxiety. And that is, what is your opinion of so many of these school districts nationwide across our country eliminating PE classes, physical activity and exercise classes that are so paramount to the learning process as far as making people or making kids less hyperactive and giving them a sense of well-being and getting out their excess energy so that they can and also it's been proven that they have more retention in their learning if they are physically active as well. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Among other things, we're talking about mental health with Dr. Roxanne Galeo. We'll give out her information and website when we return as well. So don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy. Back right after this as the Healthiest Hour on Radio continues. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio. Welcome back to the show. David Snow on your radio. It's your weekly dose of verbal vitamins and the cure for the common radio show. And if you miss any part of the program or just want a double dose of good health information, our show is rebroadcast tonight at 9 p.m. on the station you're listening to right now. And you can always go to the website, and we usually post this show the following Wednesday after it airs, and all of our previous shows are also found there at the, you just click on the podcast icon, drhealthradio.com. That's D-O-C-T-O-R, healthradio.com. Continuing our conversation with Dr. Roxanne Galeo. Doctor, before we run out of time, can you give us a website where people can go to number one, see your two-minute video on the Way of the Leaf, as well as contact you for more information on what you do?
Yes, and I do have a free gift for those who sign up. So please visit drroxannedaleo.com. That's drroxannedaleo.com. drroxannedaleo.com.
Okay, great. All right, and let's talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to follow up on the outro that you left us with, which is, you know, what do I believe is happening with schools deciding to eliminate physical exercise
classes?
I think it's a disaster, and yeah. I think that we need a new model of education in general. Throw out the old one; it never was working, and introduce ways for children to put their hands in the earth and start to learn more about ecology and growing vegetables and eating them and exercising by way of real physical labor in terms of just a genuine enjoyment of being in the mud and touching the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the earth has a bio field of energy that's restorative. Just getting kids to take off their shoes and socks and walk across the grass restores their energetic field and improves their immune system. Art and music in every way, shape, and form, particularly drumming, humming, singing, outside, inside, everywhere, is another beautiful, restorative, natural way for children to use their playfulness. And the part of life that's missing is fun. And we need to inoculate them and get them back to not being so afraid of not only getting sick, but making somebody else sick. There is something that's not happening here, which is social-emotional learning, that kids need to know that they have agency and a sovereignty of the body, which they have command over, but they need to learn how to employ that.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. That's good advice indeed. And, Doctor, I didn't tell you that I do have, although I'm not a doctor, but I do have a PhD in recess.
Oh, great. tell the audience how important recess is.
Yes, I have a degree in it. Yeah, no, but seriously, you know, I think that it, when you talk about the importance of having PE classes back in schools, and I think at last statistic I saw was only something like 29% of schools even offer PE classes anymore to various grades. But they should have adult PE classes in all offices, since 70 to 80% of the adult population works in an office these days. You know, back in 1900, only 1%, 50% of people worked in, labor type jobs, which you're mentioning, physicality or the physical exertion type jobs. Now it's only like 1%, and so or just a few percent. So it's changed dramatically, and our physiology and genes have not changed in that period of time to accommodate or adapt to the situation. So I think that adult PE classes should be required as well in most of the offices, but that's another program.
Right. But I mean, you know, there's such a wealth of information on exercise, and particularly how now using dance and movement classes for seniors who have dementia has improved their mental health. And it doesn't have to be hard or unwelcomed. It really is about the leader, the teacher, making it fun and learning ways to integrate, as I said, the arts, music, and movement, dance, drumming, all kinds of instruments, percussion instruments from around the world, different cultures, and learning ways that those different people around the world would use the circle as a way to come together and to have a cohesive social support, which is really something that I believe is sorely missing in our schools today.
Well, I think in closing and conclusion of this discussion, I think it's time for our listeners to turn over a new leaf and watch the way of the leaf and incorporate some of those anti-anxiety tips that you have shared with us this morning into their lives. And we thank you so much for doing that. Give us your website one more time, please.
My pleasure. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Yes, drroxannedalio.com. drroxannedalio.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Doctor, and all the best to you. And keep us apprised of any new research in your and your area of expertise in counseling,
okay.
not only pediatric stress management, but stress and anxiety in general.
Definitely. We really need it. Well, thank you for your opportunity here, and okay. Have a beautiful day.
All right, you too. There goes Dr. Roxanne, and here we go with another edition, but join us next week, same time, same station. For another edition of Dr. Health Radio, when we talk about botanical medicine for pain and inflammation, our guest expert, Steve Fraley, will be with us, plus all of our regular features and all the news articles you can use to be a healthier person. I'm David Snow, thanking you so much for joining us this morning and making us a part of your weekend. And remember, it's not how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha, have a healthy week.